Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're coming at you hot, even though it was a mixed bag of a weekend.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know, we're a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media people.
Woo!
We're bringing you the Lockdown Clippers 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
every single Monday through Friday. 7 a.m.?
7 a.m.
7 a.m.? Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah. Even earlier.
Can you believe it? Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. As I said, we're going to be talking that mixed bag of a weekend. We're going to go over the loss to the Warriors, 115-105, as well as the close, the very contested win over the Bulls.
This was the best game just to watch of the season so far.
It was a good time. We got to talk about all that. We'll talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, as well as how we're feeling overall. And then... in the freshies, we're going to talk about the bench. There's some concerns.
Concerning?
I have some growing concerns for this bench that weren't immediately apparent to me at the beginning of the season, but there are some troubling trends. So we're going to talk about that. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else floating around the NBA, COVID is already kind of weighing on this season and how that's going to go.
It's here.
So we're going to talk about that as well as the NBA's response and possibly anything else that's kind of floating around. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, we're going to get into this weekend recap. We got to give a shout out to Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKDOWN, you'll get 20% off your next order. The Clippers weekend, as you said so aptly, mixed bag.
Mixed bag.
You on the Friday episode said it would have been okay if we went 0-2, which I thought was...
If the process looks good...
Oof. Well...
The process looks good.
On Friday against the Warriors, the process did not look very good. The bench really is what lost this game. I was a little heated about this game when it happened. Saturday morning, I felt a lot better about it.
Look, man.
It still sucked.
We're devoting an entire segment to this, but, like, the bench lost this game.
Yeah.
The entire bench, what, like, four out of five of the players were all minus 20 or more?
Kennard and important players. It was Luke Kennard, Morris, Zoo, and Lou were all at least minus 20, and a couple of them were, like, minus 25, minus 26.
Yeah. It was not good. It was not good. Curry obviously lit things up. He had 38. Wiggins had 16. Other than Curry, though, no single player was doing a lot of damage.
Yeah.
You know, Pascal had his moments. It was just a bummer.
PG and Kawhi were great.
Paul George had 25, 4, and 7. Kawhi had 24. Serge had nearly 20, chipped in 19.
Yeah.
Bev had some really solid play. We had another lead in this one.
Yeah.
And we blew it.
But hey, that was Friday. Sunday, we had that classic brunch game, and this started out as pretty much every brunch game does, but the Clippers triumphed 130-127 over the Bulls. There was no Otto Porter Jr. There's no Lauri Markkanen. Marcus Morris still came off the bench. This was the best game of the season to watch. Third quarter in this game, I mean, so the Bulls, if you didn't watch the game, the Bulls shot 62% from the field.
Yes.
Zach LaVine had 45.
Killed it.
Was a couple inches away from 48, but airballed the chance to tie the game up.
More than a couple inches, yes, man.
The third quarter, I mean, so let's talk about Kawhi. It was his first game, what we liked. It was his first game with no mask.
Mask off.
The mask was off. And in the third quarter, the mask was completely gone. He had 21 points in the third. So I'm pretty sure it's his highest career total in any quarter.
It is.
He ended with 35. The Clippers scored 42 points in that third quarter, and the game was tied going into the fourth, which tells you how good, you know, the Bulls were shooting.
Yes.
But no, Kawhi was fantastic in this game. He tied his career high for threes made. Like, he knew exactly what the Bulls defense was giving him, and he did exactly what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Nah, he was great. Lou Will also looked good.
Vintage Lou Will.
Yeah, his scoring was really unleashed. He had 21 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, including the one at the 92nd mark, which we're going to talk about a little bit more. But he's had some up and down performance throughout the season. This was great. I think, you know, what was uncharacteristic about this performance was it really had some incredible efforts on the defensive end that led to some solid moments offensively.
Ty Lue talked about that. too, yes, in the pregame. He said that, I think it was a postgame, sorry. He said that he talked with Lou Will and was like, you're doing great on defense, but I kind of need you to be more Lou Will.
Yeah,
and
yes.
And Lou Will said, say less. So it obviously worked before this game.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Like I said, he had that steal that led to a fast break layup in that final 90 seconds there, which was huge. He was a team best plus 16 in this performance.
Oof.
As you brought up, yeah, he and Ty had to have a discussion about Lou Will's role and kind of getting back into what he does best. He has been, you know, like, there are some positives, right? Like, he has been looking to set up teammates, maybe even to his detriment at times.
Yeah, put more effort on the defensive end.
The effort on the defensive end has been very, very nice. But, you know, it's not even that he has to show it. We know he can still score. We know he can score basically at will. But it's still nice to see it.
Yeah, and they kept letting him go left, which was what's so funny. In the postgame, he was like, they kept letting me go left, so I got my shot. Paul George had 28, 7, and 9. 5 of 8 from 3. His 6th game with 5 threes, at least, which I'm pretty sure he leads the league in. Paul George is doing that still in the MVP conversation thing.
Totally. I mean, he had at least 3 of these 5 threes in the first half.
Yeah.
And like, what I liked about this was he also balanced it. He also was playing super aggressively, getting to the line. You know, there was a period of time where things were not going great for the Clippers.
Game started out slow.
Yeah.
We were down 10 pretty early.
Yeah, and trying to get back in that second quarter and throughout, obviously, you know, we had to have a monstrous quarter just to tie going into the
42 points in the third and being tied again in the fourth, it was like, I'm glad we survived that shootout at the beginning of the third because it could have gone south real fast.
Yes, but in that second quarter, Paul George, with his aggressiveness playing downhill, was one of the few things keeping us afloat.
Yes, 100%. I mean, Nick Batum hit yet another clutch corner three.
Badoom to other teams. Am I right?
There was 2:20 left. It was a 4-point play is the other absurd part. So Batum hits a corner three. He gets fouled, and everyone's going crazy. Batum is just looking at everyone like, of course I made this shot.
I mean, he went over to the bench, though, and he did accept his due praise. Look.
His due praise. This was clutch as hell.
It was super clutch. He continues to be clutch.
Three-point game.
I haven't looked at the numbers yet, but he's got to be up there towards the at least top 10 in the league in drawing the foul from the three-point line this far.
He might have to be top
season.
10 in the league in corner three. Shooting too. It feels like the dude has not missed a corner three in quite some time.
I mean, he misses some. He misses some. But I think the like his ability to draw fouls at the 3-point line, that's pretty incredible.
I think one of the things that might go overlooked in this game against the Bulls is how well Ty Lue tinkered.
Yes.
There was no Reggie Jackson at all in this game, which was awesome. For that Luke, Lou, and Reggie lineup that we were all kind of terrified about. We got some answers on it.
Yeah.
Because
lay down.
Because Ty Lue lets you know what's happening with the offense because there's a coherent plan. He says they gave that lineup, Luke, Lue, and Reggie, a 10-game sample size, saw the numbers, and went away from it. What a fantastic, wonderfully simple way to go about coaching a basketball team.
Trying something doesn't work. Trying something else.
And there's just a little bit of clarity.
Yeah.
You just know what's happening. Luke Kennard and Lou Williams were staggered, which seemed good for both guys. I think it's better. I think Lou can kind of adapt well to any situation, but I think this is good for Luke Kennard to maybe feel less pressure to defer to Lou.
Yeah, definitely.
Bev was brought in late to close the second, which is something that hadn't really been happening a lot, which was great to see. You get more of the starters out there. This was an awesome Ty Lue game.
Yeah, it was, I mean, continue to be solid. He's great at, like, the thing that I love is he's really great at freezing another team's momentum. Obviously, there still have been some pretty terrible runs where teams are, you know, going 23-6 or whatever against us, but I do think that he's really good at recognizing that and at least trying to right the ship. And, I mean, all else isn't completely on him. You know, it is on the players, ultimately, the guys on the court to change.
But
some
there's
of
no
that momentum.
Glaring issues that are letting just run out.
But I do feel like he's taking, you know, the tools that he has at hand to give the guys the best opportunity to try and turn around some of those momentum shifting things within a game.
For sure. And then what we didn't like, real quick, I mean, we talked a little bit about Zach LaVine. 45-7-7, 10 of 15 from deep. No one could stop him.
Yeah.
You know, he did airball the game-tying three, which kind of felt like a microcosm of Zach LaVine's scoring.
I got to talk about one thing that was for both of these games. Both of these games got very physical to me.
There were some hard falls from the Clippers. Kawhi rolled up a knee. Paul George got rolled up on in that Warriors game on his ankle.
Yeah. Bev took a dome to his mouth.
Yeah, Coby White and Bev hit heads. Which Coby White just shrugged off, by the way.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
He's a young man.
Very true.
Look, I mean, I love the intensity, obviously. I think it's a little... To me, it's a little early in the season for things to be maybe getting this physical.
PG dove for a ball in the Bulls game and saved it from going out of bounds, which was late in the game and it was clutch, but he dove directly onto his shoulder and it was just like, okay, great.
Yeah, some of this stuff just worries me. Yeah, like when Kawhi hit the ground today.
Everyone freaked out.
Man, I was not thrilled.
To work really hard against a shorthanded Bulls team. Yes, there's some weirdness in the beginning of the season, all that stuff, but I mean, they're down Otto, they're down Lauri Markkanen. Coby White had like 13 assists in this game. Which part of that is the fact that they shot 62%, which is insane?
The paint
looked a little easier to get into than I kind of wanted.
The thing that we haven't liked is the paint has looked very easy to get to, even for lesser teams. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we've been showing up defensively early. I think we set a tone where we're not really being the team that we can be defensively early in the games. And then we kind of have to play with our backs against the wall.
Yeah.
And another thing that has really irritated me is we're not looking good guarding in transition at all. We're having trouble staying in front of teams that want to push the pace. And speed is flummoxing us, and that's going to be an issue because if that's on the scouting report, that really all you have to do is push this team and it's going to fall apart defensively, most teams are going to be capable of executing that.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. You look at the team across the hall. Transition, it kills you. Like I said, we lost assists, but I don't know. You know, I mean, watching Kawhi and Paul George in this game, Kawhi's 35 was magnificent to see. How are we feeling after this weekend? It was pretty good. How are we feeling after this weekend?
I'm feeling all right. I think that honestly, like some of the more reassuring stuff came out of the press conference with Ty Lue, sort of talking about the lineups. You know, like I said, some of the physicality and stuff worried me. But overall, you know, feeling pretty good. I like the ability to adjust. I like the adaptability of Kawhi and Paul George. I am still. We're going to talk about it in the next segment, but I am still very worried about this bench.
Yeah.
And I'm still very worried about the defense being able to show up for 48 minutes.
I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm a little more optimistic right now than you might be. I'm happy the Reggie Lou Luke thing is over. I'm happy
it
seems over.
Maybe.
Morris looks a little like he's still coming back. Looked a little heavy-footed in the game on Sunday against the Bulls. But that's kind of to be expected, I think. But I'm feeling good. I'm excited for what happens against the Pelicans. That's going to be a good test. Coming up, we're going to be talking the freshies. We're going to be talking the bench as a whole. But we got to give a shout-out to Built Bar before to that. The new Built Bar is improved and even more delicious than before. The new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The great thing about Built Bars is that they taste very sweet, but they are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. I enjoy the cherry barcia one. I don't even like the Grateful Dead. I just like how the flavor is. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs. Right now, you might get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, that's all capital letters, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Okay, so we're back. Every single Monday we do the freshies. It's kind of where we talk about the new guys. So today we're going to talk about the bench, which is pertinent because obviously new addition Luke Kennard,
yep,
as well as the recent change of Zubats to the second unit. So I am gravely concerned about the bench right now.
Yeah, I mean...
And
Sunday, did Sunday alleviate some of what happened on Friday?
Lou Will did, yes.
Yeah,
anyone else did not.
We're going to talk about Zoo after this, but I saw a spark in Zoo on Sunday that seemed like it hadn't happened so far this season. So I think there's a chance Zoo's on the upswing. But go ahead. Sorry.
So after Friday's game, the Clippers were the Clippers bench was the worst plus minus in the league.
Okay.
Second worst net rating in the league.
Okay.
Bottom 10 in turnover percentage in the league.
I'm sensing a trend here.
Middle of the pack in field goal percentage and three-point percentage.
That's not going to cut it.
So look, we've talked about anyone who follows this team knows that defense is not going to be what the second unit does well. We get that. But if they can't score, any value that this second unit has is completely mitigated.
That's where I agree 100%. But that's what I like to see in this Bulls game was the Luke and Lou staggering, right? Like not having like staggering Luke and Luke Kennard, I think is going to be a great tool for this bench. Because theoretically, it also means you're staggering a couple more better defensive players at least are out there. But yeah, I mean, it's taken this long to see Lou Williams look kind of like himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right, offensively, because that's what we're worried about from Lou. I love the defensive stuff, but what you do best is get to the line and bail the Clippers out when they're sucking.
And Morris, you know, like I shouldn't be too quick to judge him yet. Obviously, he's barely been back. Certainly had a more efficient game against the Bulls. He was 3 of 5 from three, just 38% from the floor overall. Was 1 of 7.
He looked
in the
a
game
little
before.
Tired.
Yes. But you know, like that's to be understood. I think one of the more troubling pieces, honestly, has been Zoo.
Yeah, something happened to Zoo's hands in the offseason. He's playing like that year when he had two broken fingers.
Yes.
Which, hey, when you have two broken fingers, I don't expect you to finish many things around the rim. I don't expect you to catch passes very well.
Yes.
But when you're healthy. Last year, it looked like he really took a step last year. You know, playing in the starting unit with Kawhi and PG really helps a young center like Zubats take a step.
Definitely.
Do we think that being on the second unit has contributed to him looking off? A lot of people on Twitter attribute it to that.
No, I don't think it's really.
I don't know if it's that. I think he's having to do a little more on the second. I mean, it's. I don't think. There's no way that he's having to do the same amount defensively on the second unit now that he's not with Kawhi and Paul George. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just a chemistry thing.
Look, he is being asked to do more. We see multiple plays where he's kind of given the arms up shrug as to where any amount of help was on that second unit.
Man was getting
unit.
Some minutes when Zoo was out there, which makes things hard.
Yeah, and look, man, I do get that he's overextended in that area. I think that's fine. I also, like, look, these Warriors matchups, they're tailor-made to fuck Zoo up. Like, yes, every time we play the Warriors, it's basically going to flash back to that 2019 playoffs until, you know, until the identity of their team significantly changes. But to me, the thing that's been troubling is his finishing has also been garbage.
Yeah.
He was 1 of 4 in that game, in that Friday game against Golden State. He was just 2 of 6 in yesterday's game by the time you're listening to this against the Bulls. I don't know if his hands are broken again. I don't know if maybe he owes too much money around town and he just keeps getting his fingers broken.
I don't think
I don't really know.
But here's what I like.
But the finishing looks terrible.
There was a sequence that I liked in that Bulls game. Was he got a great block on Kobe White.
Yes.
It was authoritative, and it stayed in bounds.
And then he got that sick dunk on the other end.
And then he hustled down to the other end. He got the pass from, I'm pretty 90% sure it was from Bev, and he threw it down.
Yeah.
And then from that,
and that was 50% of his field goals in the entire game.
Exactly. And from that point on, he looked a little more energized on the boards. He grabbed 7 boards in that Bulls game. I'm hoping that's a corner he can turn. And I also think him playing well is kind of directly connected to Lou Williams playing well. Lou is going to be out there when Zoo's out there, and if they're out there early together and it's not clicking, Zoo's the kind of guy where you know what's going to happen early, right? Where you're like, these two possessions, I kind of know how it's going to look for the rest of the game.
Yeah, so like to his credit with some of these finishing issues, sometimes he is getting the ball dumped to him with 3 defenders on him.
He's getting what Trez got.
Yeah.
Because Trez would get that, but Trez is a different kind of aggressive than Zoo is.
And a way better finisher.
Yes, for sure. So that's something that needs to get worked on. And I think that comes with more tinkering. You know, I think we see we're treating, it seems like Ty Lue's treating these, this season in 10 game increments based on this one thing we have that he's doing it. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think the staggering of Paul George and Kawhi will help more, which we mm-hmm. saw more in the Bulls game than the Warriors game.
Yeah.
Which I was pretty psyched with.
I mean, and he was a plus defender in this game against the Bulls.
But it's looked off. Like
it's looked off. And, you know, it is because he's being asked more to do than even his very solid skill set can allow for.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Hope it gets better soon.
I don't know. Yeah. And
Pels will be a good test.
I just feel like even being able to finish at a – even a, you know, like 60% field goal percentage, which you should be able to do if you're a center and you're finishing everything within 5 feet. I think that that can even offset some of the issues that he's having defensively, because he is still a great defender.
For sure.
Is the thing, even when he's being asked to be too much, to do too much, rather. So, I don't know. I don't think that this is a permanent thing.
I think it's on the upswing.
I don't think that this is a permanent thing for Zoo. I do think that it's something to monitor going forward for the bench overall, because there have been some huge inconsistencies with the amount of scoring, and the defense has remained reliably bad.
Yes, and going kind of attaching itself to that defensive point, closing out quarters has been an issue, which I think is kind of related to...
And starting quarters.
Yeah, I think it's related to Ty Lue figuring out lineups, though. I think a lot of that... You know, bringing in Pat Bev to close the half against the Bulls was a new thing, which is like one of the more positive lineup adjustments we've seen Ty Lue make. Not that the other ones haven't been, but this was one where it was like, oh, this makes a lot of logical sense. And if Pat Bev is playing well and not fouling, this is a great move for the Clippers. But I think a lot of our worries are kind of due to last year's lack of adjustments. Ty Lue's been pretty candid about the logic for some of these moves.
Yeah.
Which we might not like some of the logic, but... It's there, and it's never been presented as we just got to keep doing our own thing or like something like that. Like, I'm a little worried about the bench, but I would have been a lot more worried if it basically, you know, if Lue wouldn't have been so solid on Sunday against the Bulls.
Yes. And I mean, and
Kennard's got to get more aggressive.
And we're getting more feedback on what's going on, like what the rationale is behind some of these decisions. So that. Is definitely a reassurance, but
long way to go.
Long way to go.
Feels like a long way.
And well, and we talked about
we'll
this.
We'll revisit in 10 games, but it does feel like a long.
We talked about this a little bit in the group chat, but I think that a large amount of the emphasis has obviously been getting this starting unit to work with the new addition of
Nick Batum being our starting four.
And then now, you know, the reintegration of Morris is going to be a big concern. But I hope that at the same time we can kind of be fortifying this bench's efforts, getting trying to establish some level of consistency there, which I think – so, look, I think the huge thing for Lue Will has been just the lack or the change of his role.
Yeah. Lue Will in a three-guard lineup is bad.
Yeah, and I think that he's been really struggling with that. Obviously, Kennard is you know, great on ball, but he's just as great off ball.
Yeah,
and
he's still figuring it out. He's still you can see him trying to think of every decision in his head when he has the ball.
Yes,
he's just got to let it go. He's just got to be more aggressive with shots, like all that stuff.
Yes.
But hey, things are gonna look up again. Pels are gonna be a great test for this. Coming up, we're gonna be talking the COVID situation that was kind of a lot this weekend in the NBA. But first, Will, talk to me about sports betting.
All right, look, sports betting is great. The best place to go is betonline.ag. I know you all are ready for some football.
Oh, yeah.
College football is in bowl season. Obviously, there were some great wild card matchups this weekend. The NFL is finishing up. The playoff picture is very clear. And right now, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust for betting. It's betonline.ag. And if you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Look, there's been so many blowouts this season in the NBA. How are bookies going to keep up? How are spreads going to keep up? You might as well try to win on the margins. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, welcome to Shavings, where we're just kind of talking about, I mean, COVID had a weekend in the NBA. The Mavs had to shut their facility down. The 76ers played with, I mean, barely a full roster. Celtics versus Heat was postponed for Sunday. It seems like someone in the Wizards organization, there's something going on there. You look at the timeline for the Wizards. January 3rd, the Wizards play the Nets. January 5th, Kevin Durant has to quarantine. January 6th, Wizards play the 76ers. January 7th, several 76ers players quarantine. January 8th, Wizards play the Celtics. January 9th, Jason Tatum has to quarantine. That was via Justin Russo. I mean, is the NBA doing their best here? Can't compare this to the bubble, which is also something I think we should get off right off top.
Yeah,
will never happen again, and it was borderline almost a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a miracle that it was able to happen
in
the period of time that it was able to happen. Look, when you can't control all the variables, there's too many people, a traveling team is too large, and you're really like, you're at the whim of so many things. It's not even just on the players, you know, like they have opened up testing to the families of the players, which, you know, I mean, I think is good. But at the same time, you know, you have things like the Durant situation where he's already had the virus, but people in his party are testing positive.
For sure.
And so, you know, like once again, that merits another set of quarantine for him. So I think that, look, there wasn't another way to feasibly or logistically figure out a bubble again.
You couldn't. Unless you did like four bubbles or like some crazy.
I thought the idea of kind of doing regional play in kind of series like you see in baseball.
We all thought there would be more division games.
Yeah, is definitely like maybe could have been an option. I don't know if it was just due to scheduling concerns. Obviously, you know, most NBA
players
teams
wanted to start MLK weekend, and then the NBA was like, no.
But most NBA teams, other than what the Jazz and the Thunder, share an arena with another team.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, they don't have complete control over their scheduling.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Clippers have the worst scheduling in the NBA.
Yeah, we have to play brunch games.
Brunch games than any team in the NBA.
Yeah.
But look, when there's this many uncontrolled variables, you got to have serious concerns as to how you're going to contain this thing. And, I mean, I think that they've been doing the best job that they can do. They've definitely been trying to take it very seriously.
But also at the same time, like, it's like a lot of people wanted that 76ers game to be postponed. Playing with eight guys is dangerous.
I don't know. I mean,
right?
That's against the Players Association. That's against their guidelines. I don't know how.
I thought eight was the minimum.
Is it? I thought
I'm pretty sure eight's the minimum.
Okay, I thought you had to have nine for some
reason. But eight is the minimum, but you're still like, dude, like eight is not, that's not safe. No, and I think there's a disconnect here, because like, look, there's no rims at any of the parks right now in Los Angeles. Right? Like,
no nets.
Not even the nets. They yank the rims off a lot. The Clippers courts, a lot of them, there's a board in between the things so you can't play. So there's this thing of like, so COVID is kind of this weekend rampaging itself through the NBA. And there's that disconnect of like, so you guys are good to play this, but we can't play. Like, what is happening? Like, it's obviously not, it doesn't seem safe to play if you're looking at it from the sense of we can't play it at the parks. So why is it happening in these NBA stadiums? Because there's so much extra stuff too. So I think that's where kind of the fan just confused angerness comes from. Because it is a weird-ass situation. I love the NFL. I'm a big Dolphins fan. But like, I don't follow it as closely and in-depth as I do as the Clippers, obviously. So I guess it's just kind of interesting to see. Because I thought the NFL was going to be a disaster. And it kind of was.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the nature of playing basketball indoors, the close proximity that you have with people, that's you know, unbroken up by as many stoppages of play.
Yeah, for sure.
And just, yeah, like the degree of closeness with which the game is played, I think that makes it very difficult to, you know, like I said, control those sort of variables. So we're going to be keeping an eye on this situation, yeah. Obviously monitoring it as it progresses. But, I mean, I am starting to have some concerns.
And also the Clippers, in terms of stadium capacity, were doing that thing where they were going to, like, wait every 9 games or 10 games and, like, reassess what the county was doing. No update as of Sunday night.
Only people from the cast of Bowfinger are allowed.
Yes. Doesn't seem like fans are going to be entering Staples anytime soon.
Yeah.
We got to get to a weekend game coming up.
Yes.
Get some press availability. Hope everyone's staying safe. Hope everyone have a good weekend, you know. Clippers made it out. 1-1. Not bad. I'll take it. Tuesday's episode, we're doing Twitter Tuesday, answering your always fantastic questions. So send those questions to our Twitter feed, at Locked On Clips. Maybe some trade talking. I don't know. People still want to get rid of Lou Will, but it makes it difficult after games like he had against the Bulls. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. on the dot, or later, of course, as well?
You can tell your friends to listen to us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific, or anytime you get around to it. On iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really, really helps us out.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to get some more support for this show.
Yes.
And if you like what we're doing, feel free to leave a rating or review over there at iTunes. You know, it doesn't cost anything, and we'll definitely read it on air.
It doesn't cost anything, and hell, I'll Venmo you a buck if you do it. So go ahead and make a quick dollar. Is that legal to solicit reviews with dollars?
Do it.
We actually got a review on the 30th, which is fantastic. Carlos Acedo gave us 5 stars, said, I listen to these guys every day, and compared to the other Locked On podcasts I listen to, the dynamic duo of Chuck Mockler and William Decker are the best. Oh, you stop it, Carlos. Anyway, hope everyone has a great opening to the week. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.